Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 372 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, once again. And today my guest is Jody Zarega. Jody is the owner of a recruiting firm, Zarega Legal Recruiting, operating out of Sarasota, Florida. And as the name implies, they do all types of, provide all types of recruiting services for in the legal space for attorneys, for law firms looking to hire attorneys, and frankly, for attorneys looking to be hired by law firms. In addition, they recently have started a division catering to the needs of recruiting law firm staff, so paralegals, administrative staff, and the like. So as I go around the country listening to people talk about their concerns about the business of law, the recurring theme that I hear over and over again is the difficulty in hiring good help, good attorneys, and good staff. So using a legal recruiting firm like Zarega Recruiting might solve that issue. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to have Jody on the podcast. So without any further delay, let's learn a little bit about legal recruiting with Jody Zarega. Jody Zarega, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Neil. I really do appreciate this.
I'm delighted to have you join us today from the Sunshine State in the sunny city of Sarasota, Florida. Jody, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. So my journey in the legal recruiting world started way back in 1995 when I was hired as the director of legal recruiting for an AmLaw 100 law firm. I was hired as their director of recruiting, and that was in Atlanta. And, you know, the Olympics came to Atlanta in 1996. And if you remember back then, Atlanta went absolutely crazy after that wonderful event. So the firm grew from 185 lawyers when I first started. And then when I left in 2003, we were at 525 lawyers. Wow. So I know it was a lot. It was a lot of growth, and it was a lot of fun. And, but, you know, in order to help a firm grow of that, you know, in that magnitude, I had to rely on the expertise of outside legal recruiting companies. So, you know, as time went on and I started understanding what value they could add to firms, I really started thinking to myself, you know what, I can do this. And so I didn't look back. I 2003, I in June, actually, it's my 20-year anniversary, June.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Congratulations, yeah.
Thank you. June of 2003, I launched Zarega Consulting, which is a legal recruiting boutique. We focus on our clients, our law firms and companies who need to hire lawyers, general counsels for their firm. So, and we've also just actually recently launched a legal staff division as well. We used to just focus on attorneys, but our due to client demand, we have launched a staffing arm as well.
It's interesting that I think, you know, in 20 years, you've seen a tremendous change in the workforce from what things were like back in, as I like to say, the before times and what they're like now post COVID, for example. So I'm guessing that the whole process that you go through in terms of being able to support your clients in their recruiting needs, that too has changed.
Oh, absolutely. When I think back when I first started, the way that I was able to source attorneys was through Martindale Hubbell CDs. That's what we did. You know, it came out quarterly, if I remember correctly. And by the time we received them, they were completely out of date because people moved around so much. But there wasn't, first of all, there wasn't the technology that there is today. So it's much easier to identify talent these days. But also, you're right. I mean, even if you take even COVID out of the equation, which of course has made everything completely different, but you know, it's been a generational change. So the partners who were in charge of hiring 20 years ago, they had certain expectations that they wanted to see from a candidate's pedigree. You know, not many people moved around that much, you know, back then. So, you know, one move on the resume and it was like, oh my goodness, this person is a job hopper. And now those folks have either retired or they're, you know, kind of on their sort of the tail end of their career. And folks, this next generation just has a different outlook about that. They, you know, I don't want to say it's a lack of loyalty because it can be seen that way, but I think it's more, it's just more accepted for attorneys to move around than it used to be.
Well, I think it's true in all of the employment workforce. I think you encapsulated it really well when you said, you know, before you had, if you changed jobs, anything less than, you know, in the legal space, anything less than 10 years, you were thought of, yeah, as a job hopper. But now people move around for better opportunities, and they move around because they want to change locations or their circumstances have changed. I'm thinking in particular women in the legal workspace. You know, they finished law school, maybe they've gotten married or entered into a relationship and now want to have children. So their whole lives change, and their employment circumstances needs to be adaptable to that.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And I see the firms now versus back then very open to part-time schedules or reduced hours for women, also giving paternity leave, that sort of thing. So, and of course, the remote aspect of it has opened up, just a completely different set of rules, if you will, to how law firms hire and look at talent.
Sure, and it also really changes the skill set that you're looking for. You know, there was a time back in the day when attorneys were able to get away with the statement, I have a computer, but I don't really know how to use it. Or, you know, I have a legal secretary that does all my word processing for me. I just like to, you know, dictate my pleadings and right, and my letters. And that's not the skill set you're looking for these days. So tell me, what are some of the hot topic areas for recruiting? What are things that really stand out to you these days, or are there any?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, the hiring market has been, for attorneys, has been really like I have never seen it over these past 20 years. Law firms are really, they hire much more quickly, I guess you will. I would say before COVID, it could have taken, let's say, maybe, 2 to 3 weeks was probably a normal time, maybe a month to really kind of go through the interview process. And actually, if I really being honest, that was probably pretty quick. Once COVID hit, it has just gone crazy. I've had attorneys walk in for an interview and get an offer on the spot. So it's really become a candidate's market, which put the law firms in a very precarious situation. So what I see as, I don't want to say it's a problem or an issue, it's just how it is, I guess, is, you know, a lot of times, you know, we will recruit for our clients and we'll find a great candidate and they say they're interested, they say the right things, they've got the right experience, they're, you know, everything is positive as can be, and then they get the offer that they asked for, that they wanted, and then they turn around and go back to their firm and basically negotiate that offer, use it as leverage to get more at their firm. And so that kills me, Neil.
Yeah, but that hasn't changed. I mean, that was true. You know, I'm really old, so that was true in the marketplace a long time. You got an offer somewhere else, you brought it back to your current employer and said, hey, I'm getting ready to leave. Got this offer. Can you do better? I mean, I'd love to stay and work here, but you know, this is what I got. And either they did or they didn't. So I don't know that much has changed. What I'm kind of interested in is kind of the mechanism that you go through. So let's take this scenario. I'm the owner of a small law firm, four or five attorneys, some staff members, what have you. And I need to expand my staff. I want to hire two or three more associate attorneys. But I don't have the time. I don't have the bandwidth to do the whole recruiting, resume review, you know, interviewing, selection process. I want to bring somebody on board. Is your firm, you know, the kind of firm that can handle that? Is that what you do? Is that how people come to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's interesting.
Tell me what you do for them in that scenario.
Sure. And it's interesting because I have clients that are huge, you know, they have thousands of lawyers, but my favorite clients are really the smaller, either the solo practitioners, like you said, or maybe the smaller firms that are really trying to grow and they're so busy. They've got great practice growing on and they just don't have the time to go through because it is a tedious process. And so what happens in those cases is the firms will call me and we'll talk about it. I'm very big on understanding a few things. I really want to understand why there is a need. What is the, is it because of attrition? Is it because of growth? Are you trying to break into a new practice area? There's a myriad of reasons why a law firm would want to hire. So understanding why there is a need is very important to us so that we can, so we have that information when we're talking to folks in the market. And then the next thing I like to understand, of course, is the type of practice that they are hiring for. So I would really talk to me about what your clients need. Do they need somebody who has an expertise in, you know, let's say data privacy or HIPAA, or is there something specific that you need us to look for? And then the last piece is, which I find is very important, maybe even the most important, is the culture of the firm. Who's going to fit in? Who is who's going to be successful at the firm? What are the expectations of this person? And it's really important to understand those things so that we can go into the market and find that exact fit. So that's where we add value, because we are not a recruiting firm that sends a ton of resumes to our clients for positions, because if they wanted a ton of resumes, they could do that themselves, right? That's really the way
you want to curate that set. Mm-hmm. So you're sending candidates to fit their need.
Exactly. So You know, and sometimes it takes a couple of resumes or maybe a couple of interviews for the firm to really hone down on exactly, you know, why this candidate wasn't a fit. And they communicate that to me so that I can, you know, keep going and take that information and use it so that I can find the right person. So yes, that is, I think I answered your question. Yeah.
So then from the opposite side of the coin, how does the candidate present themselves to you? How do you go about finding these candidates?
So one of the things that I think is so important is technology. So I'm very big on investing in the most cutting edge technology that there is out there for our industry. So I have really three main, I guess, sources that I use regularly to identify the talent. And let's say, you know, I find somebody and they're really a good fit. You know, I know that these lawyers get calls all the time from recruiters. It's uncanny how many times they get called a week or a day about different jobs. So it's for us, it's really being able to make that outreach and make that attorney understand that we are different because we aren't just out there fishing for resumes. Like my recruiters don't sit down and have a quota of people that they have to call every day. We don't operate that way. We're very client focused. So it's really looking for the passive candidates, which is what I use the technology for. Sometimes we, you know, do advertise on LinkedIn, maybe, but we also have an app, which I think is just a wonderful tool, and it's exclusive for attorneys. And if an attorney downloads that app, they can get alerts to the jobs that we have that fit their profile if they like. Or, you know, they can browse the jobs that we have and decide if they want to apply. So it's also keeping a relationship with the attorneys when they're interested in taking a look at a job. Let's say, you know, I'll get a call from a lawyer that'll say, you know, I need to get my bonus at the end of the year, but I just want to be on your radar screen so that, you know, Q1 2024, something comes up in, you know, this type of area, I'd love for you to keep me in mind. So there's a lot of different ways. I think it's important that the candidates or the lawyers really, I hope that they understand that, you know, at least Zerida Consulting, that we really are out there to make the matches for the person and the job. And I can't tell you the amount of pride and excitement that we celebrate internally when we've just, you know, we find the perfect person for a job and it's a life-changing role for them. Either it's in the city where their girlfriend is, or, you know, it's just the practice area that they've always wanted to go into, or it's so rewarding.
Well, now I feel bad, Jody. 20 years, I've never gotten a single recruiter phone. What's wrong with me?
You are kidding. Oh, no.
I need to improve my profile a little bit. Maybe my match.com is that profile wasn't the thing to promote out there on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I can help you with that offline. How about that? We'll make sure. Yeah.
Support for today's episode comes from Ruby, the number one client communication solution for growing legal practices. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Ruby creates exceptional experiences for your callers and website visitors. They take messages, screen and transfer callers, schedule appointments, perform new client intake, confirm details with outbound calls, and can answer in English and Spanish, and a whole lot more. Just like an in-house receptionist, only better, because they turn every ring into a relationship. Ruby can work full-time, part-time, or as a backup, and you can change your instructions anytime with their top-rated mobile app and online dashboard. Plus, Ruby integrates with tools such as Clio, Lexaclara, MyCase, and Rocket Matter. It all adds up to more opportunities and more time saved. In fact, 90% of legal professionals who use Ruby capture more billable hours than the national average, with many recording double or more. That's five or more billable hours per day. To experience the Ruby difference for yourself, visit get.ruby.com/ELE. That's get.ruby.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, for up to $150 off your first month. Imagine you, powered by Ruby. As a law firm owner, you take responsibility for driving more revenue for your firm. But how much of that revenue ends up as bottom line profit? Ryan Kimmler, the net profit CFO, helps law firms drive more top line revenue to bottom line profit. His two game-changing tools are the scorecard, so you can actually know what your numbers are and can make informed decisions, and the action plan, so you know how to get your numbers where you want them to be and drive more net profit. To learn more about Ryan, check out episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, and you can get a free profit acceleration call by going to go.oncehub, that's O-N-C-E-H-U-B, go.oncehub.com/profit. I will also tell you, just as an aside, I am a client of Ryan's. I have been working with him for the past 6 months. Frankly, ever since he did that episode with me, I signed on with him to be a client. And I've been thrilled with the kind of information and insight he's been able to give me. So do yourself a favor, you know, get that free call and check out Ryan Kimmler at netprofit.com. So as a prospective employer, if I wanted to use a recruiting firm, I don't want to get into your rates or all or anything, but how do you get compensated? How do I work with another recruiting agency? Do you pay only if they make a match? Is it a fee based on the salary you're hiring for? I have no idea how that works.
I'm actually glad you asked that question. I'll tell you, there is the industry standard, the legal recruiting industry standard, is to work on a contingency basis, which means you get a percentage, a negotiated percentage of the hire's first year base salary. Bonuses, and it doesn't account on bonuses or anything like, or signing bonuses or anything, nothing like that. It's just the salary.
So round numbers, if they hire them for $100,000 annually, and you negotiate a percentage of that, and when they hire them, you get that percentage paid. There's a fee.
Yes. So our candidates come with a guarantee. So there's a safeguard there for the firm. So let's say the attorney doesn't work out after 6 months, we work out a payment plan. So I could we'll pay them back on a good basis. So I think that helps really,
set you apart for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And most firms require that. I think they do when they're contracts, they do have a guarantee period. The thing that I came up with, it's really kind of taking off this year. It's great. I created what's called the retention model. So, I started off saying about the contingent model, and that's, based on, you can work this job, and if you pay somebody, you get money. And then there's the complete reverse, which is the retained model. And that is where a law firm will go out and actually pay me up front to find them a lawyer. That's very scary to some firms.
Yeah.
So the thing about it is that really it is scary to them. It shouldn't be scary though, because from our perspective as a legal recruiter, when we get a call for a contingency search, I guarantee the firm has called 10 other recruiting firms. So it's like a race between all of us who find the person first. And so it's So, I mean, I know that retained is scary. So what I did is come up with this retingency model. So it's a combination between retained and contingent. And basically what that means is, so my typical fee or the industry standard is 25% of starting salary. That's what we get paid. If you choose to do a retingent search, I will drop the fee to 20% total. And the firm would give me just a little bit, maybe, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 to get started, which what that does is it really solidifies that this law firm wants me, Zerega Consulting, to help them. So there's a little bit of skin in the game for them, and there's skin in the game for us, because now that ensures that us, that, you know, we really do have the ear and the trust of this firm. So we put that search at the top of the list.
Yeah, I was going to say the people that are going to take advantage of that opportunity are the ones that really feel like you have what it takes to get what they're looking for. They have confidence in you, because they're not going to step out in front if they don't feel confident that you're going to be able to find them the candidate that.
Right.
So I think that works for you and for them.
It really does.
I'm fascinated about the app that you have too. We kind of brushed over that. Tell us a little more about that. So this is an app that you can download. I'm assuming you can download it from places where you get apps for your phone, you know, Apple, the App Store, or Google, whatever Google Play is it.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So they get the app, and then they create an account. Now, I'm an attorney looking to relocate or, you know, find a new job. So I get the account. What do I do with the app?
So the couple of things that I think is important to share before I get into that part is, so okay. this app, it's called Attorney Jobs. That's the name of the app. And yes, you can download it in Google Play Store or the Apple Store. Yeah, it's called Attorney Jobs. Okay. Very, very simple. It's exclusively for attorneys. So let's say you go on and register that you want to download the app. You have to put your information in. So I ask for your bar membership and your bar number. And we actually physically go in and verify that everyone who downloads is actually an attorney. Because, I mean, the way I look at it is, and one of the reasons why I wanted to do this for attorneys is because I appreciate your time. I mean, you work in 6-minute increments. I understand that. So I wanted to create something that was going to make it easy for the attorneys to not have to sift through, nothing wrong with staff jobs, but sift through jobs that they're not at all interested in. They know, okay, download this app, it's only attorney jobs. So,
okay.
The second thing that I think is really important is to understand that when you download the app and you have the opportunity to upload your resume. You don't have to, but you can. You can also attach your LinkedIn bio if you would like. You don't have to. You know, you can just download it and search and see what's out there. But if you do upload your resume or your LinkedIn profile, it's important that the attorneys understand that information is only coming to Zerega Consulting. That's it. It's private. So it's not like putting your resume up on LinkedIn or, you know, saying I'm open to work. Right. And then, if I was an attorney, I would never do that, because I'm like, oh my gosh, my managing partner is going to look online and see I'm open for work or that my resume there, you know, that, or you apply for a job on LinkedIn and you have no idea where your resume goes. It's just in this black hole. So it's important I would just like to get that message across that
those are great, great factors to understand. I appreciate that.
Yeah, because I do, you know, it's looking for a job is a very personal, private exercise. And I appreciate that. So those are the two things. So basically, yes, you download the app, you get approved, and you can browse jobs on there. I mean, right now, I think we have like 4,000 jobs on there, and you can search by city, you can search by practice group, you can search by even specialty within a practice group. You can search how long the job has been on the app. You can, and if you, and let's say you see a job that interests you, you have two choices. The first is to just, you push a button and it sends us a note, me a note directly. And it says, you know, I'm interested in learning more about this position. Please call me. And I'll call you and I'll talk to you about it and I'll tell you about it. You can, if you have your resume uploaded, you can say, I want to apply for this job. I'll still call you and talk to you about it because, you know, I just think that's important. And then, yeah, so it's very simple like that. And then you can set up your own profile so that you can get alerts if you would like that when a job is posted that matches what you're interested in doing, you know, what you want your next job to be. So it's completely customizable from the user's perspective. And yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Well, I mean, I graduated from law school 20 years ago, but I was really old. But I would have loved something like this.
You can still download it, Neil. It's okay.
I was a techie at the time. Okay. And, you know, I went to my law school student office. I don't forget what it was called.
Like career services or something like that.
Career services. Uh-huh. Yeah. And, you know, their approach was, you know, give me your list of 100 law firms you want to apply for, your letter, and send out your bulk letters. And that was the most depressing thing I ever done in my life. Just rejection after rejection came in. I would have much rather put my tech skills to use and use an app like this one to explore the opportunities out there. So
one of the things that we have realized is that it's really good for law school students at first, because, you know, they want to know, I mean, while they maybe haven't passed the bar yet, but it's a lot of them have had requested access to it because they want to know what's going on in the market. So yeah, we allowed them to have their own little special code if they're a law school student. And
so let's just wrap up here then with the time that we have remaining and talk a little bit about the new venture. You've added support staff, recruiting mm-hmm. for legal support staff, which I will tell you that, you know, in the conversations I have with attorneys around the country, it's the number one employment issue that they all complain about, that they just can't get the staff that they used to be able to. They can't find and recruit qualified legal staff. So this is a service I think that's really waiting to explode if you can help solve that problem.
Yes. And actually, Neil, that's exactly why we launched this division of the business, because of so much client demand. And, you know, it takes a lot of work it's almost harder. I agree with you. It's very hard to find qualified staff and get them to make a move. So it's very time consuming. So I was so lucky that I found a woman. Her name is Victoria. It was a paralegal, and I was actually recruiting her for one of my clients who wanted me to fill a paralegal job for them. And I was like, hey, you want to recruit for us? And she's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding? So she's a perfect person to really launch this division. And yes, the process is the same as we talked about in the beginning, the mechanics. The firm is interested in hiring some staff. They just reach out to me. I'll put them in touch with Victoria, or we can do a call together and let us know what they need. And Victoria is amazing. She has already placed, officially started in January, and she's already made, I want to say she's already placed 10 staff, and she's got like 3 offers out and 12 people interviewing and tons of jobs.
Making it happen.
Yes. Love that too. We love it. We love that part.
Well, let me just get on my soapbox just for a second. One of the observations that I think I have may be wrong, okay? I'm perfectly willing to be wrong. But I think one of the difficulties that attorneys have in hiring staff is they haven't adapted to understand that the workplace is different and that you have to treat staff differently. Staff are sometimes more integral to your success than other attorneys are.
Right.
And when I hear attorneys say, I can't find anybody to work, or nobody wants to work, my response in my head, I say this back to them, is they don't want to work for the crappy job you're offering them. So I think, while I'm on my soapbox, that, you know, if you have a legal staffing problem, it can be in part, you need to look at whether or not the nature of the job that you're trying to recruit for is attractive. And I'm not just talking about compensating them, you know, paying them more money. But right. if you treat your staff poorly and that comes across, you're just not going to get people to come work for you. I don't care who it is.
You're exactly right. And we have had those gentle conversations
sure.
with some of our clients, and they appreciate that candor, because you're right. It's, you know, it's a, like I said, it's a candidate's market, and understanding that the candidates really, especially staff candidates, can, you know, really have the, if they're good, they're going to get positions. So if you want somebody of that caliber, understanding what you have to offer is extremely important. So yeah, I think
not only what you have to offer in terms of money, but mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. the environment, the responsibilities, yes. the role, the culture, as you talked about right in the very beginning, that you want to know about. And I think when you're talking to prospective employers, you get a sense immediately what their culture is and whether that's what they're asking for. If it's not, you've got to disconnect it. It's not going to resolve.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Yes. Yes.
Well, Jody, this sounds terrific. I wish you the best of luck. I know that there's folks on podcast here who are thinking to themselves, you know what? I think I can use a legal recruiter. This sounds like a solution that I might want to avail myself of. If that's the case, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you and further explore what your company has to offer?
Sure. Thank you. And yes, and I'll say, so my email address is jzerega, and it's Z as in zebra, E-R-E-G-A, @zeregaconsulting.com. My phone number, you can text me, you can call me. It's area code 404-660-3414. So feel free to reach out in any way. You can also find me on LinkedIn if you'd like, or you know, and I'm happy to have a conversation with any client. It's just because you're calling me doesn't mean that you have to hire me. So sure. I'm happy to, you know, walk through maybe some of the struggles that, you know, folks are having and see if we can be of assistance and if it makes sense or not. So yeah.
Well, outstanding. Well, we'll have all that information in our show notes. And I want to, again, thank you for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur.
Well, thank you so much, Neil. I really appreciate the invitation.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls, another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode, our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for years now. Couldn't be happier with them. And I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO. As I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client. And then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.